insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for your word. We thank you that it is living and active, and that as we come to you, Father, we pray that you will be gracious enough to feed us so that we might grow in our obedience and our faith to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a bit of a feedback, is it? Yeah, sounds a bit... Thank you. Thank you for inviting the Church Missionary Society to come and be present for your Mission Sunday. It does give me a rare opportunity to be doing what I do for the Church Missionary Society, which is to go to churches to teach and preach about mission, and to be with my wife and family, and so thank you very much for that. We've been checking out this church for quite some time now, but we've only officially moved to this area about 3 months ago from August. So I still feel in some way like I'm a visitor. A little bit more about myself and my wife. We met at the University of Macquarie, where we were undergraduate students in psychology. I was an overseas student at that time. So obviously we fell in love. And moved back to, returned to Singapore, and my wife came to look for me, the power of love. I imported her. She was a foreign import. We got married in Singapore, and then we returned back to Sydney, where I did 4 years at Moore College, and Sean and Trinity were born at that time. Around about the time when I was born, You know, by the time I was born, colored television has really won the battle. The sales for colored TV was way more than black and white by the time I was born. And I remember my first TV in my family. It was a German-made television, a Telefunken. There's some nods there. Good. Television at that time had four legs, about the size of a coffee table, just taller. This is the best picture I can find That kind of reminded me of what television looked like. And so I grew up watching a bit of television, and of course all of them at the time were foreign films being imported. This is back in Singapore. And this is one of the films that I remember growing up watching. Can anyone tell me the name of this television series? Yes, his hands are Paul. Little House on the Prairie. And that's one of the, it does reveal your age a little bit. I remember growing up watching this, and of course, growing up in Singapore, I had no idea what a prairie is, right? Singapore is just a small island, no land, nothing. But as I watched this film, you know, it was about frontier living. It's really the romantic idea of moving out to a frontier, getting your own land, planting your own produce, and raising your own family. So that much I got. And of course, frontier living has many opportunities. Of course, you get your own land, and it's the land is vast. You know, I remember there's a scene there where there's just an expanse of land filled with flowers. That's the kind of romantic idea. And there are frontier challenges. All right, isolation. They are there by themselves, they really have to stick together as a family. Now, this is going to sound corny. For me, in a way, moving to the ponds, you know, 3 months ago and checking out this, it's a little bit like that, you know. It's a frontier. You know, when we first came to Sydney, we would always be in Macquarie, North Shore, and then we moved to Brockham Hills, and now we are here. But frontier livings have its challenges and its opportunities. And here we are as a church. I believe that God has moved the links to this place, not by accident. I believe that God has put us here, and God has put many of you here. What are the opportunities, and what are the challenges? I love my job. I get to see many churches on different Sundays, and I've been pastoring a church as well in Singapore, and even before CMS, I've pastored for a while. And so I understand what churches fundamentally are like. And it's great to have Mission Sunday. Please don't hear anything negative about Mission Sunday. But my impression of Mission Sunday and when missionaries come is a little bit like a fireworks, right? That's great excitement. And for that Sunday, mission is on the focus. But then maybe as soon as you walk out of this place, it kind of just fizzle out, isn't it? You know, all the excitement and things like that. So it's part of the reality of what makes churches churches. And so my role with CMS really has to do with reversing that, changing that, trying to see if mission can be something. There isn't just a specialist event. You know, there are some people in the church that are specialists in mission. They are interested and they keep pushing, you know, for mission, while the rest of us are just kind of, oh. How can we change that? How can we make mission part of who we are as a church? Really, God's mission for the world, it's God's mission through the local church. It is where local churches are healthy, that's where we see global mission growing. Without healthy local churches, there's not going to be missionaries that will be able to send out to the world. And so it's not an event thing, not a special program thing, but I like to suggest that it is an identity thing. Here's a verse that helps anchors a lot of what I think about churches and mission. What is it that God wants to do, and why is it that God chooses to use the church? The church, as I know it, is, you know, continues to be sinful, continues to struggle, and yet God in His wisdom has decided to use us. This is Paul speaking. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles. The word just means nation, people from different tribes and tongues. Paul's job is to preach to them, to proclaim to them the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what we have, isn't it? We have the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, how it's going to work, how has it worked out, and where are we today in view of what God is doing from eternity to eternity. His intent, verse 10, was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to what God is doing. So the church for me is important. It's just a little verse in that whole context of what God is doing, but nevertheless, it is there. And so in my role, I've seen many different kinds of churches. I've seen big churches, traditional churches, happy clappy churches, or even churches that meet in a sports hall. Really, the issue isn't just, you know, what kind of song you sing, what's your worship tradition. There's only one question, is, are you the real church? Because if you are the real church, what I'm saying to you this morning will make sense. Because the Spirit is at work in you. Because you instinctively, within yourself, understand that there's something here that's connected to who I am as a Christian. I have a very modest goal this morning. I'm not here to start a revolution or to change anything. Churches, by and large, are unchangeable. I've been a pastor long enough to know that. I just want to do something small. I just want to plant a seed. I to give you a picture of what this church could be like, of what you can be doing in God's kingdom, under God. Of course, I want to look, it isn't just my ideas, I want to, of course, turn to the gospel, the Bible. That's where we get that vision and purpose for what a church should be like. You know, when Paul wrote the letter, Ephesians, he was in prison. And here is a letter, and many of Paul's letters are the same. You never get a hint that Paul felt sorry for himself for being in prison. You know, there was not a hint of bitterness, not a hint of self-pity, but, you know, if you open up, just open up the letter of Ephesians, right from get-go, Paul's eyes was up there, and he was just thanking God, and he's caught up with what God is doing. Let's go straight to chapter 3. Verse 1, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me. Paul's referring to his conversion experience, how God met him at Damascus and gave him a chance, an opportunity, a second chance to start again. That this grace was given me, verse 3, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has been now revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. What Paul is saying is that right now there is a fresh, a new understanding of God's salvation plan as a result of the coming of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, and most importantly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is as if there is something new. God's salvation history has reached a turning point, turn a corner, and it's reached a climax. And it has never been rebuked before, although there were hints in the Old Testament that that's what God's plan, but, you know, it was fuzzy. But now it has been reviewed. You know, what has been classified is now made plain. And it's really, really exciting. For as far as Paul is concerned, this is great. This is radical. This is new. And it involves a new birth, a new group of people being born to be called God's people. Before that, only selective people could be God's people. But now everybody could be that. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. There is now a new community, a new species of humanity, if you like to put it. One whereby all nations, doesn't matter where you come from Hong Kong, Shanghai, Africa, Germany, Austria, we can all be part of this new humanity, this new group of people that now comes under God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just people who have means, who are educated, all people, even those who are from socially economic disadvantaged background, young and old, whether they are settled or displaced, there is now a new opportunity to be part of God's people, because now there is a new way being opened to them, a new confidence, a new access to God that never was available before. Here is what it means for us to be involved in God's mission. That is, we ask the nations to be part of this. We invite them to be a part of this whole a new way to be part of God's family. Ephesians 3 verse 4, in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Ignore that little box there. Forgot to take it up. I come from a Buddhist background. My dad was a devout Taoist. And for me, salvation was about appeasing the gods. You go to the temple, you say you offer your offerings, you know, to Yisu, you know, on the first day of the month and the 15th day of the month. Right? And of course, I grew up with that tradition. My dad, before he became a Christian, was a very devout Taoist. So devout that he devoted me to the deities to be a godson. I'll tell you that story another time. But that's what it means for the nations without the gospel, that salvation is something that they've earned. The spirits are things that they are afraid of. There is no confidence, no access to this God who is the creator of the whole universe. But now there is not only just a fresh access, but there is a new heaven and a new earth. So God's purpose for the world isn't just about us, you and me, or the nations, but it's going to change the entire cosmos. Paul talks about here's that verse again, that, you know, his intent was that now, through him, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. So here we see God. What's God's manifold wisdom? I think that is in his way that he's decided to send his son to die on a cross. That's foolishness to us, but it's God's wisdom. I think a part of that wisdom is God deciding to use us for his purpose. God doesn't have to do that. Sometimes I'm amazed. You know, churches, again, are interesting institutions sometimes, a funny group of people sometimes. So we're the best that there is in the world, and sometimes we are the worst, isn't it? I know of people who are hurt by church. But it amazes me that God continued to use us. I'm very thankful for that. That's his grace. God in his wisdom decided to use us so that his ultimate purpose is going to come together in Christ. And not only that, but the entire heaven and earth is going to be rejoiced because of that. And that's why you don't see a hint of bitterness in Paul as he's in prison. Because where Paul was sitting, this is radical, this is new. It is as if I come back to the frontier image again. It is as if at that point in time, the Western frontier just opened up. The gospel now can go to the nations. There are plenty of opportunities as far as Paul is concerned. He looked out and there are many lands that he could now go to and visit to tell them about Jesus. There are many people who speak different languages that Paul is keen to share the gospel faith with them. And that's why Paul says, don't be discouraged because of my suffering for you. This is exciting. This is the new frontier work that we are a part of. And this is more exciting than putting a man on the moon or even beyond. I can't think of anything in this world that inspires me more to get up every Sunday to go to churches and say, friends, this is what we get a chance to do. Is this not the same for us as a church today? We are not here by accident. You know, I know there are different kinds of people who are here. Of course, some of us are here because we chose, you know, to live in this part of Sydney. According to reports, it's the most exciting part of Sydney to be at. It's the next, you know, we're the future of Sydney, isn't it? This is the place to raise our children, etc. That's great. Some of us are here because we really want to be at Castle Hill or Bochum Hill or North Shore. We're not there yet, so this is just stepping stone, right? We're just waiting our time, right? We're just here, and then when the time comes, we're just going to sell up and go, moving on to better things. It really doesn't matter. The point is, we are here. And while we are here, we need to ask ourselves, what are the opportunities that God has given us and what are the challenges? But before we get there, how are we going to do it? We can't do this by ourselves. See, Paul never, and God never intend for us to do this in our own effort, by our own strength. We need power from God. God has promised us resources that we have as a community that we are able to share and do it together. Verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father and pray. That's what we need to be doing. We need to pray for God to enable us to do it. Here we are in this vast open land, plenty of opportunity, and what should we do? My suggestion is before we think about what to do, let's gather to pray. My personal prayer the last couple of months, ever since I know that God's going to move us here, is God, grow my heart for the lost. I'm not concerned about how to do it yet, but I know that when God grows my heart for the lost, He'll show me the way. That I'm going to do it in a way that loves the community as people created by God first. God's going to give us that power because it's His work. It's His vision. And so I can get up every Sunday to go and do it. And there are plenty of opportunities to do it. Mission is through the church. But here we are, we're doing the same thing as mentioned a few times. So we go. Some of us will cross the continent. The rest of us just needs to cross the road. Does that make sense? All of us are called to go. All of us are called to give. Some will have the opportunity to give more. All of us are called to pray. Some will pray more specifically for a people group. And of course, all of us are called to care. That's the opportunity that's there. You think about it, talk about it and see. Pray and ask God to show you where the opportunities are. But what are the challenges? I think the challenges confronting us is that while we're enjoying the good things in our life, we forget that they are temporary. They're good. That we should enjoy them. But we forget that these things don't last. And we should be thinking about, how can we use those things that God has given us, the opportunity, the resources, how can we use it for eternal purposes? Let me finish, of course, where Paul finished. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask for or imagine, according to his power that is at work with us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again this morning for your word. It does lift our eyes. And Father, would you by your Holy Spirit work in us? Do whatever it takes to lift our eyes, lift our eyes from ourselves so that we can see you and your purpose. Would you help us to persevere in that and not be distracted by the good things, but not the best thing in lives. We pray this because of Jesus. Amen.